All right. Well, let me pray and get you up here, Roger. Father, this is a wonderful time and time for us to gather and process the joys, the fun of life and the deep concerns of life. We're the class full of human beings, which means we have all of those to levels that anybody has, both joy and confusion and difficulty. But we're here because we want to bring those to you. We want your word. We want your community, the body of Christ. I do thank you. It's again a reminder hearing that about singing the hymns there in Gene Chase's room and how the impact that had on at least that one person from Brookdale. Just it's a reminder of the power of Christian community. And so I thank you for it, and I pray this would this class would resonate with that, just be full of that. That we would all benefit from it and be involved with it. That we would be called and understand that we are called to encourage others. So I thank you for this morning and for these prayer requests. We certainly bring those to you. And we pray that you would call us to pray for these during the week. Pray for each other on these requests that we know that we see in the email. Thank you for that. We thank you for Roger and Martha. You brought them to our class. What a blessing. What a blessing in the way they've loved us, loved the class, brought such caring. So I thank you for that, to pray for their life. We get lots of complications going on, Martha's parents, and just all the stuff, Lord. We pray for their strength. And I thank you that Roger's willing to work with our care groups and how well he's done that. Thank you for that. Give him strength to do that, continue, and give him wisdom as he speaks to us today. I pray that in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Turn it over to you.
The handing off of the mic.
This is the official handing off.
Save this word of God.
Oh, yes. Thanks, John. Wow. It's been a while since I've been up here. Takes you back.
I think Rod will
get closer to the stadium by the podium. Well, last week, John mentioned that. That didn't work too well, did it?
Every time.
Hope that's not an omen. Last week, John mentioned that there are several of us involved in a lot of the different ministries here at the church, and some that we've heard about and some we may not. So today I wanted to tell you a little bit about one that I'm involved in and kind of use it as a segue into what I want to talk about today. And that ministry that I get to be involved in is the lay pastor's ministry. And there are about four or five of us in here that are part of that program. And if you're not familiar with that, it's a program under Jim Alexander, him being pastoral care. You can only imagine how big a job that man has with everybody to look after. So this program, the lay pastors, are gentlemen that we look after the widows, the widowers, and the shut-ins, people like that. So how that works is each of us is given about four or five people, and we are to contact them on a monthly basis. And so it was interesting when I first got my group. I was like, okay, I don't know any of these people, which was fine. But so you all know the awkward conversation you first have with somebody your first meeting and getting to know them. Well, I've been doing this for about a year now. So now I know them real well. I know their ups and downs. I know their families. I know their work experience, their challenges in life. And so I pray that I've cultivated a friendship enough with them that they feel comfortable enough to give me a call if they need help with something. So it's kind of like our care groups in here is kind of way it's modeled after, or we're maybe modeled after them that way. But it's our job to minister to them. And the only way that's going to work is if I manage to keep up a relationship with them. And so if I get back on, I don't stop my calling, and then I'm not doing that, I'm not cultivating that friendship. But at the heart of that ministry is a relationship. That relationship drives everything about that ministry. And so as I began to ponder about what I wanted to talk about today, what God would have me talk about, it was interesting that I've been reading some different things lately in here, and everything I read about or heard about had to do with relationships. I thought, okay, maybe this is it. Okay, I can do that. And I can do that because what you need to know about me is I view everything from the standpoint of a relationship. How are things connected? But then more importantly, how are those things going to be influenced or affected by a different force or an outside force? Let me, for an example, when I was an assistant principal, all the administrators in the school system took one of those personality tests or leadership style tests. You know, whether you're this kind of animal or that kind of animal or this letter. Well, this one that we took was a little bit different. And it guided you or gauged you on your leadership style. For example, there's a critical thinker, there's analytical, there's constructive, there's social. So those only four, there's about five or six of them. And so as a result, well, they would give you your feedback of what your style is. And I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but not because I know this about myself. I came back 90% social and 10% analytical. And at first I'm like, wow, am I that? No. And then no, I can be analytical. It's just not my preference to do that to begin with. For example, when they want to start a new program in our school or our school system, my first response was, how's it going to affect our teachers? How's it going to affect our students? I didn't really care about the data they were bringing along with them. I wanted to know, how is it going to affect them? What's interesting about this is that while I was 90-10, the principal at that time took the same test. She was 90% analytical and 10% social. We were the perfect pair. And they talk a lot about that, it just happened that way. So when something new would come along and she'd come to my office, she'd say, okay, here's what I'm thinking, but how do you perceive it for the teachers? And same thing, I'd come along and say, hey, here's an idea I have, but is it going to work based on our data? And so that was real important. We had a great working relationship to make that happen. So I got to looking and about relationships, of course, in scripture. And I think I knew it, but I didn't realize that, you know, the word relationship is never used in the Bible. Do you know that? The word relationship is not in the Bible. The Bible hints at, it talks about concepts of relationship. It gives great examples of relationships. But there might be some modern texts that have that word in it. But as far as the traditional ones that we read from and study from, it doesn't use the word relationship. But it has all kinds of connotations about relationships. And if you look at the Bible, think about it, from the very first word of the Old Testament to the last word of the New Testament, that line of thread that goes through it is all about one relationship, really. And that's our relationship with God. And John 3:16 sums it up very well. We all know that one. But God so loved the world. But prior to getting to that relationship and people understanding that, the writers of the Bible use all kinds of concepts for understanding relationships. In fact, there's all kinds of examples. So like, if you think about it, just think about some examples of relationships in the Bible. Well, the very first one was God and Adam. And then, so that was one type of relationship, but then God gave Eve, so there'd be a different type of relationship. There was a relationship between God and the people of Israel, the chosen race. There was a covenantal relationship between God and Abraham. There's a family relationship between Ruth and Naomi. Now that's a relationship. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Then there's, of course, Moses and Joshua. We think about mentoring relationships. Bring along those people behind us. Paul and Timothy. And of course, Jesus and his followers. All kinds of relationships. So when you look at the word, so the definition of a relationship is the way in which two or more concepts are connected, or the state of being connected. What connects you in your relationships? And as John was opening up class today and talking about this and that, our prayer request, I just kept, and as I walked in this morning, and I do every morning on Sundays, and see the amount of social conversations that are going on. We have a great class of relationships in here. There are some of us that are their acquaintances. Like this side may not know many people on this side. And Martha and I talk about it all the time, but we got to make a change. Well, there's Martha right over there still. No, we come in with that name. And then there are relationships in here that have been bonded for years. And so there's always something that connects us. But then there's always something that pops up or looking at tries to disconnect us. That we fight against. But we all have that one common connection here is our love for God. That brings us all together as a group. And so the most common type of relationship that the writers of the Old Testament use to really stress this idea, of course, is the shepherding concept. Okay? And please don't groan when I say shepherding, because there's a lot in here. And I'm not talking to the shepherds of the class. I'm talking about all of us. Because actually, shepherding does involve all of us, not just the shepherds. But that is the concept that they use. Turn with me to, let's see what I want to go first. Oh, let's go to, Peter. Let's go to John, John 21. John 21 verses 15 through 17. This is Jesus talking to Simon Peter here. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Jesus said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, we know that this is Peter being restored with Jesus after denying him three times. Jesus puts this question in front of him three times, do you love me? And John, of course, responds in the positive each time, yes. And after each response, Jesus gives them a command. Now, notice what he says to them. Feed my sheep, tend my sheep. I'm sorry, feed my lamb, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. He could have easily given a direction like, go preach the gospel. Go into other parts of the world, which he does at times. But at this point in time, he is having to tell him, you need to establish a relationship to tend my lamb, to feed my sheep. Three times. We know in literature that the more something is repeated, the more significance it has. So that's why Jesus is telling him three times here. It's the same thing, all might be said a little differently. But in order to tend and to feed, there has to be a relationship that exists. We're going to talk a little about that in just a second. I want to kind of just briefly look into the elements of shepherding. And now I said this is for all of us because you know what? We're always part of the flock. We're all part of God's flock. At some times or other, we may be called up to be a shepherd. And we've done that in here. But at some point in time, every one of us is probably a shepherd to somebody. Or we have to be. We need to be ready to be. Ready to be called up to be a shepherd to somebody. So there's this book. Here we go. I want to knock off anything here. There's a book that all the officers were given this year at the beginning of January. It's called The Shepherd Leader. And so that's where I'm getting a lot of this. If you're interested, you want to take a look at that. For the shepherd leader, there are four areas of shepherding. Four basic elements you need to know. It's knowing, feeding, leading, and protecting. And I think they all pretty much speak for themselves. But knowing, feeding, leading, and protecting. A lot of these are done what we call a macro level of shepherding. And some of these are done on a micro level. Macro being the pastor of the church, having to know his flock, how to take care of them all. And he breaks it down by other pastors. Same thing with feeding them. Then we get more to the micro level, like we've done in here, and establishing our relationships so that we can feed on a more personal level, we can protect on a more personal level, and be there for each other on a more personal level. Take a look with me at Acts 20:20. This is Paul writing, speaking to the crowd. Verse 20. I did not shrink from doing anything helpful, proclaiming the message to you and teaching you publicly and from the house to house. So Paul understood the point of shepherding. It's publicly, it's macro at some point in times, but it also has to be micro. Getting into the homes and visiting with them and getting to know them personally. So that's kind of the way it starts out. And of course, we all realize that you can't do these things. You can't feed, you can't protect, you can't lead if a relationship has not been started and then cultivated. And that's why I go back to my example of how we kind of work the lay pastor's ministry, is that we take it very seriously that we are checking on these people every month to have that conversation. And there are times that it happens more than once a month that I'm calling to them. I see them in the church. I get to go and have personal conversations with them in the church at times. Just, and because it's developed over time. Okay? So we've got to have those relationships that are nurtured. Go with me to, now, let's see. I want to go to John. John chapter 10. All right, we're going to take a look at verses 1 through 15 and then verses 27 to 28. Chapter 10, verse 1. Let me get a drink real quick. Oops. You're right on the spot. Appreciate that. All right, chapter 10, verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they knew his voice. Notice that his position there. He goes out in front of them and they follow him, not the other way around. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Martha and I have been watching The Chosen again. And last night we were watching a particular one. And at one point, Jesus has been teaching his disciples and teaching his disciples and teaching his disciples. And it comes a point in time where they just didn't get it. And I saw what I first thought was frustration on Jesus. But really it was the aching in his heart that they just weren't getting what he was trying to teach them. And that's kind of what's going on here. So in verse 7 it says, so again, Jesus said to them, He's going to make it very clear now. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I'm sorry. Yeah. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that I may have life, that they may have life and have it abundantly. So far now he has gone back and re-identified who the gate was. But Jesus says, I am that gate I was trying to tell you all about. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. All right, let's skip on down now to verses 27 to 28. Kind of repetition here. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So we've been talking a lot about the shepherd. But I said that it's a relationship. So if there's a relationship, there has to be a connectivity on both sides. We know what the sheep's doing. He's leading and protecting. What do the sheep do? What's the flock do? I respond. Exactly. There is an action on their part to respond to who the shepherd is. And when that may sound so trivial, well, of course they're going to. He takes care of them. But we all have that choice to whether respond or not. And the sheep follow after the one who is there taking care of them. And he gives you the great example. He's not going to take care of the hired hand. The hired hand's not going to take them. They're not going to follow him because there's not a relationship that exists there. So there is a responsibility on the flock's part in this relationship. And that relationship is to respond. In that response, we are saying, I hear you, I understand you, I know you. And thank you for it. And I'm right here with you. And I hope that in our shepherding groups here, in our care groups, that's taking place. That we're not laying it all on the shoulders of that person who's in charge to take care of everybody, everything. We have a responsibility to respond back to them and sometimes step up and help out or take them in place of that situation. Because we're all called to be in a part of that relationship and be active in it as well. Not just wait for that shepherd to do everything for us, but we also got to be there for our shepherd. The writer in this book gives an example. There is proactive shepherding and there's reactive shepherding. And unfortunately, sometimes churches always fall into the reactive part of shepherding. What I mean? People were asked, when do you typically hear from somebody at the church? And the response was, well, when there's been a tragedy or somebody's sick or financial crisis. So then they'll come, and that's wonderful that they do then, but that's called being reactive. A healthy, positive shepherding relationship is going to be proactive. We've established the relationship with our sheep. We've cultivated that relationship so that when things happen, we're right there already. And hopefully the way it's going to work is I don't have to let somebody know there's been a tragedy in life because we have such a great relationship. They know it's happened and they're ready to help out. Yeah, sometimes we have to speak up for ourselves, but sometimes if we've done the cultivating well and invested in that time in the group, then the response is going to be almost automatic. So we've got to make sure we're being more proactive than reactive. Now go with me to 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. First Peter chapter 5, verse 1-4. Now as an elder myself and the witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you to tend to the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it. Not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. And verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will win the crown of glory that never fades away. You've noticed, as we looked at some scripture today, in John, he's referred to as the good shepherd. And then, and we haven't looked at Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews 13:20. I wrote that down or not. Hebrews 13:20. I'm getting there. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the external covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us, so that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. So here in Hebrews, it's referred to as the great shepherd. And then, as we just saw in Peter, he's referred to as the chief shepherd. Never really thought about that before. So they say that the good shepherd in John is refers to it that Christ's work is finished. Okay. The great shepherd in Hebrews 13:20 refers to that his work is currently in the present. That's through us. And then the chief shepherd means his work is in the future. He'll be the chief shepherd when he comes back to give us our reward for what we've done in his kingdom. I never really looked at the different types of shepherds that he'd been labeled before. It's like that kind of came out in my reading of the book. You know, I told you I kind of see everything in terms of relationships. And Pastor Doriani's message this morning, I kept almost rewriting my lesson, because as he was talking about the sermon, I won't spill it for those who haven't been yet, but I kept seeing relationships all through the service that he was talking about in his preaching and at work and things like that. And the title of his service is something like, we consecrate our work, we consecrate our work so that it may make a difference. That's the title of his sermon. But I looked at it and I thought, what if we read that? We should consecrate our relationships so that they make a difference. And as I said before, we're all connected to the blood of Jesus Christ. And we all work in his kingdom for the glory of God. That's our connection. But is our relationships that we have consecrated to that? Some of them probably are. Some of us have, almost all of us have very casual relationships. Some of us have very deep-rooted relationships. I'm talking friendships here. And sometimes I get convicted that I should be moving more of my acquaintances into a deeper relationship than what it is, and giving the time to that that it needs. And I know we all run out of time. We all got things. We're all busy. And we got things, but are we making our relationships amongst ourselves a priority? Are we consecrating them enough that they're making a difference? Not only for yourself, but for the glory of God. That's really what shepherding is all about. And so as he kept preaching, I'd take my book out and take more notes. I kept breaking the golden rule of teaching. Leave the lesson alone. Things just kept coming to me. And I'm glad they did, but I enjoyed viewing the sermon in that manner. That what is our relationships? What are they really doing for the glory of God? What are they doing for us? Is God ministering to us through those relationships? Are we allowing him that time to cultivate our relationships with each other? that we can be shepherds of his flock. And again, we're always flock, but sometimes we're called to be a chief shepherd, or not a chief shepherd, just a shepherd. But sometimes we're always shepherding somebody. I may have a certain group of people I've been designated, but I know that I'm shepherding other people. I know that other people are shepherding me along the way, because I think that's the way it's really supposed to work. I'm excited about the program we have here, our shepherding classes. I keep hearing great things from different people about what they've been able to experience and get to know more people. And to me, that's just furthering God's kingdom more and more. We're here to encourage each other. I always think of Proverbs, I think it's 37. Iron sharpens iron. And that's man sharpening man. That when they come together and sharpen each other, wow, what can come out of that? And so thank you all for your work you're doing in our shepherding groups. And we'll keep going, we're going to keep working on them, and just keep watching them evolve over time. John.
I can name the Valley Lyricus with the people involved, but thinking about operating translation.
Nope.
All depths of a particular peer group have our members care and being his wife were driving somewhere, and we're headed that way. The brand new, you can't call me then.
Right.
They just show up. And later, he was telling that she's single, widow. You know, sometimes it's hard for a guy to go into the environment to pray behind you. So she would get a text that this peer leader said, I'm at the end of your driveway, I'm going to pray for you. I didn't follow anything, but I was struck. She told me that he didn't say a word about that.
Yep.
She told a month that with her. And I thought, it's one of those little clocks. It's not top down, you know, that's just people loving other people. Just getting that phone call, get prompted by the Lord to call somebody.
This little thing.
And I appreciate that. I'm encouraged by that.
Yeah. And I was familiar with that story as well, so thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that's exactly right. Any other comments? Yes, sir.
What about, say you have a high school friend or something like that, who lives in another state now, and they have some issues with what you're talking about? Could you do that over the telephone?
Sure. Sure can.
Okay.
It's just some kind of connection. Telephone, email, text to begin with, you need to. But yeah, it's just a reaching out. So that the question was, could you do it through a phone like this? Somebody who's in another state? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and John, I think I'm glad you brought up. Relationships, your acts and your relationships don't have to be grandiose. It's those constant conversations, checking in, things like that. That's all that this really requires. And I think it's done so well in here. And I think it's evident, like I said, when you come in on Sunday morning, you got to bust your way through the crowd back there. And it's not because of the donuts. Or whatever happens to be back there. That's nice, but the people take the time to talk with one another. That's investing in a relationship right there. That does make a difference. Anybody else? Jim?
I'd like to add to it that, actually, what you know, what you're doing this morning is shepherding, teaching, and when I got out of the hospital, they asked me to share with the session how the church and Sunday school had shepherded us, and I realized it really started. started in 1979, 1980, when we go into our work. All the teaching, all the coaching, all the examples, all the equipping. Something happens to you, you know, all it kicks in. So, not to take away from the structure that you're talking about, which is important.
Right.
Just, we're constantly.
Yeah, constantly. And kind of along your line, I was shepherded like that. I've shared my testimony here before, but 15 I had my motorcycle wreck. We had just started going to the church for about 4 weeks when I had my wreck right outside of the church. And that church, three-fourths of them didn't know who I was, were there taking care of me, loving on me, cultivating us. And that when everything else can be falling apart, we knew that the love of God was being shown to us right there through that situation. Again, they had no idea who in the world I was. But here I am 45 years later still talking about that. Because it has an impact. But again, to that gentleman, also it doesn't take the big things to happen. It's those everyday conversations that we have with one another, checking on one another. That's where the establishment and the cultivating of our relationship continue to grow. And then we pray that they just continue to go otherwise. Yeah, Susan.
And very much part of my love ministry, because we develop relationships with people in nursing homes, and not just friends for all of us, but just knowing and praying with them. And same thing in my global ministry. There are assigned so many missionaries, whether it's nationally or internationally, and developing relationships with them, communicating with them.
Yeah, keeping
up their ties and pray for them.
Yeah. But if you go examine any ministry that goes on here or anywhere, you're going to find that the heart of that ministry is relationships. It's all about relationships. Peggy's not here, but I'm there to say, Tim, that if she didn't cultivate relationships with those girls, that program would not be as successful as it is. It's all about that cultivation. Anybody else? Yes.
I was just thinking, hearing after leaders back today, we all kind of, what are we going to do? Especially with y'all. And that's, I felt that lost for a minute, that, God is doing, he's a great shepherd, a lot of people, he's a new shepherd us along the way. Mm-hmm. And, also just thinking, well, as our shepherd Harry, and from Barker and Scott, so much. So what did we learn? What did we do with that? And what would they learn to do with it? And they would learn to go fall into minister and share the gospel still. So, and you guys did want to. So I was thinking though, when you said, what am I going to do? But God's thinking broadly.
Yeah. Can continue that metaphor. I guarantee the flock does the same thing. Like a sheep, their shepherd is gone. They don't know what to do. They're used to that voice. And so when that voice is gone, well, thankfully God supplies another shepherd. Yeah, good point, Tim. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I'm so thankful for this day you provided for us. Thankful for this church, the place to come and be with our brothers and sisters, set side by side, and have relationships with one another. Relationships that reflect you, that reflect the love of God, and that continues to encourage us to move forward and going on and on in our lives and our struggles sometimes. We're thankful for those relationships with everyone we celebrate and also when we mourn. God, just continue to cultivate us as a class. Strengthen us in our relationships and our shepherding efforts. Go with us this week, our separate ways, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.